Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm
who wrote the music is Shout Even Shy. Great song. This is Team of Voices Radio, and we are a poetry group that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And if you'd like to call and join the show, you can dial in at 1-646-668-2837. If you're a member, check out the groups tab and check out a Team of Voices. Come hang out with us. If you're not a member, it's free to join, and you can find us under the groups. It would be great to have you. And I have my co-host, Jay Hatter, here. Hatter.
Hey, yeah, free to join.
Great song.
Need to rock that song. We need to get Boudreaux. Ooh, she can't say his name. It's just cool.
Boudreaux?
Rock that song up a little bit. Yeah.
You think? I bet you he would love that.
I don't know.
Check it out. Yeah, no, he'll do that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Cool.
He can put his Elvis spin on it, right? And behind Hatter is Mr. A.P. Taylor from Oz. Hey, A.P.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
Well, glad you're here. And I'm just going to open some of these lines because it's jam-packed. We got the dynamic duo right behind you. Hello, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And Mr. Wayne Gent right behind you. And Kay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, Wayne.
And right behind Wayne is David. Hello, David.
Dave.
Hey, how's everybody tonight?
Doing okay. Glad you're here, David. And right behind you is Sky.
Thank you.
Sky.
Hello.
Hi, Sky.
Sky.
Hey, Sky.
Sky.
Hello.
The sky is so lovely.
Okay, so aside from a message I got earlier and the standard dynamic duo, is anybody else time crunched so I can do my thing?
Do your thing.
Okay. And Stephen, I sent you a message as well. But in the meantime, what I wanted to say is that I've been looking forward to this specific show because this is a chance for me to dig into the files and pull stuff out for each of you. I have folders that has each of your names on it. And like I have, when I asked you to give me a number, you're giving me a number that only, for a picture that will only be to you eventually because every single picture in that photo is specifically yours. So they really are still personal prompts. It's just it takes the pressure off me having to pick one by letting you pick a number, knowing in advance that every single one that matches the numbers that you're choosing, I already handpicked just for you. So I'm anxious to see what you did with the inspirations that I send. That's why I always say if you don't love it, tell me because it screamed at me that it was for you, but it doesn't mean it'll scream at you. So I always want to know because I had one of the poets tell me that they felt bad for asking for another one, and I don't want anybody to ever feel bad. I want you to be inspired. So now, with that being
said, what numbers we chose? These will keep up with the numbers we chose, like in 2 or 3 weeks, how are you going to weed out to 12 or 6 or 8? These will keep up with all that.
Right. Well, each, like I said, I have so many. So if they're numbered. And if I said to you, give me a number between 1 and 31, that means that there's 31 in the one that says Wayne.
Oh, okay.
And any one that you pick at one time or another, I hand chose for you. I just haven't had a chance to use it yet. And I got so backlogged with amazing photos that, you know, anyway, so yeah, that's how that worked. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask AP to put his poem on the board for us and kick us off with the poem that, with the poem for the picture I chose for him that turned out to be picture number 42. And then we will do the dynamic duo. Yeah.
I will always going to choose number 42. It's up on the board now. This is Opal Flows Sky, Sky, Skyward. And it goes a little bit like this. Off the most fragile slopes among frost, in mist swirl towards basalt-worn cliffs, her icy fragments of glass is embossed. Tumblers gallop on these valleys insist. Their foam is an opal verging near blue, whose striking flint sparks they shower. Orange firefires gleam briefly in airs through, spots of light that the fog soon devour. Brumbies at gallop wipe away the stars, ground as hidden as with a blood moon, while dangers of crests obscured spars, just below the surface harpies do croon. So onwards their hooves echo to stone, they dance by escarpment upon track, trailing off into skies, a cloud's known, rains to thunder, is lightning, then black, in poem.
Wow, that's amazing. I like them all, so let me go up to the opening stanza there. Off the most fragile slopes among frost and mists swirl towards basalt-worn cliffs, just the images right off the bat are really cool, and I can see the cliffs almost I don't even know if I would call it stampeding as they swirl. There you go. You used the word already. As they swirl towards the valley, and where was the brambles? Because Brumbies. I can't even talk today. Brumbies that gallop, wipe away the stars. Ground is hidden as with the blood moon. So you went like hog wild with amazing imagery, and it's easy to see why this one scored in your top five, top ten. I like when you outdo yourself, when any of you outdo yourself and get excited by it, because it makes me happy to know that it means something to everyone, you know? When you come up with stuff like this for the images, such beautiful, and you didn't have the picture all that very long, you know, to paint the icy fragments that you did here is gorgeous, along with the rhyme and the flow. Did you say second highest rhyming?
Yep, it's behind Ironbark. Ironbark's the only one that's higher up there.
Wow.
So
wow.
This has got something according to the auto rank, but it just flows beautifully. I love the way it finishes. It just flows beautifully to write, and I love it when that happens. I haven't written much lately because I've been so busy with work, but I really, really like the image, and the muse got hold of it, and the way it went, literally.
Okay, Brumbies and Harpies, for those that live in caves, like me.
Brumbies.
They're like
Brumbies
our wild
mustangs,
I believe.
Wild mustangs, yep, wild mustangs. And harpies are sort of like those nasty creatures that are trying to take people down in the midst of the night, you know, the harpies of the sea, for example. So they're trying to, you know, get you and do nasty things to you.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that the image just stuck out and inspired you so much, because that's what I want. And anytime that's not what any of you have happened, as soon as you lay eyes on it, please, please, please tell me, because as you can see, I have an excess for each person, and I can very easily switch it. This is gorgeous. Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think this poem is a pure AP at his best. Every line stands out, and two of my favorite are "So onward, their hooves echo the stone, and they dance by the escarpment upon track." And they went on to say, "Turning off into the skies are clouds known, the rains of thunder is lightning then black." Great rhyme. It reads like water running down a slight slope. And a wonderful job. I love the perfect balance. It's a great poem all the way around. Good job, AP.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Dave Prophet, what did you think?
Oh, man. This one was really good. It's so descriptive. You know, that's what struck me. AP stuff is always good, but this one was really, really stands out, to my way of thinking anyway. Their foam is an opal verging near blue. Hoofs striking flint sparks, they shower. Orange fireflies glint brief and airs through spots of light that the fog soon devour. That second stanza right there is really, really descriptive. I thought it was really spectacular, and I like the way the storyline went along with it. It's interesting. It keeps you glued right there, waiting for the next line. So I think you did a real good job on this one, AP. It's one of my faves of yours.
Nice.
Awesome comment. And Kay, Stephen, how about you?
Well, yeah, I'm always very impressed with AP's rhyme and flow. It's always makes my jaw drop. But I thought this was really cool, right to the picture. The direction that the imagery took your pen, absolutely beautiful. And that's just kudos on the picture too, Deb. Now, this is a great, great, great writer.
Yeah, great image. No, thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And Kay, while I get yours on the board, will you comment for AP as well?
Well, yeah. With the picture there, there's definitely a lot to take in. The line that stood out for me is about the harpies, since they bring in nature and creature as to what comes first. Because harpies has a lot of different meanings to it. And I like how you wove that in there. Thunder and lightning and its own ray courses through your words. It's an excellent share.
Thank you very much, Kay.
Awesome comment. And AP, I know you probably need to get some lunch. I appreciate you calling.
I do. No, pleasure.
Don't work
Thank
too
you.
Hard.
And no, we're almost through it. I've almost negotiated my next 3-year set of both contracts. And so once that's happened, things get a lot easier here because I don't have to negotiate anything for 3 years. I just have to do it. So, but yeah, it's been a busy time. So thank you.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay. Thanks again, Deb. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
You will now go off with yours now, please.
Okay. I had written this 3 weeks ago with one of our topic folders in mind for a poetic slice. I wrote this in mind with Animal Farm, so this is kind of where my rights went. And I call this Guarded Dwelling, Hurricane's Footsteps Composed in Barefoot Blazons. Sacrifices of remembrance doesn't discredit. Stakes of reservoirs are the frugal inheritance and spirit. Drafted and bloody unionized spillances, confusion. Silent hill of howls, foul up the stone-aged hawk, scavenging land. Spill the blood, pitted and smoldered, wait. Quarter mile ahead, slaughters the hind hawks. Swing and squeeze to dissolve the clots. Lukewarm blood, shower rains, its ancestry. Upon flesh and hair, hurtling down the funnel, there is no religious grounds. Battered suitcases run the souvenir of 1 foot out the door. Run. Coffee cups poise as the spoons clink the mug to shake off the dew of remnants, merchants of pious nature. The talk of the table is tinted in gossip and fear along the pig line of conformity. Scribbled words of shame are the edge of a dead end steering wheel. Borders of no direction birch the air of sumac upon leaves, crisp in their change. Pines lean, the roof sags in its watchful presence. Razor blade shine, sharp in its gaze, is a guilt, wind chime, and rationality. Stillness stones the intrusive ceremony of a shelter in winter, where life isn't sacred. End poem.
Wow. Okay. I don't really think that you needed that disclaimer because even Animal Farm or otherwise, it still came out really good. I love the title, Guarded Dwelling, Hurricane's Footsteps Composed in Barefoot Blazings. I actually think is my favorite title of yours. And, I mean, you don't really have favorite titles from people too often, but I but I do. I mean, I usually say, oh, that's a great title, but I really, really love the title. And take me to there, to coffee cups poised as the spoons clink the mug to shake off the dew of remnants, merchants of pious nature. I really love the fact that you brought the coffee in at all, but poised as the spoons clink the mug to shake off the dew of remnants. I like that, like, you're not trying to get the last drip. You're trying to shake off the dew of remnants. And then towards the end, pines lean. A roof sags as its watchful presence. There's a real sadness in the thought of the roof sagging because those pines that are leaning might now become the next roof. And for some reason, I felt really bad and sad for the tree. And it probably has nothing to do with the poem at all, but what struck me there was that if we just took care of the things that we chopped down to make something out of the first time, we wouldn't have to chop down the tree the second time to fix it type of thing. So I was getting all kinds of sad emotions and loss and different styles and types of loss as I read. So... wow. Wow. Sky, will you comment on this masterpiece, please?
Yeah, I thought this was brilliant. I really loved the beginning, how you kind of do this. To me, what I see is a scene setting, but through like a brilliant set of metaphors, the sacrifices of remembrance, presence, and credit, the stocks of reservoir, the frugal inheritance spirit, the gathering. I really, really liked that. And then you go into the confusion that lies beneath. And then this is this one too. Silent hills of howls foul up the stone at each talk, scavenging land. So I'm picturing this hawk waiting or threading through these trees and getting through the silent hill where you and just getting completely or distracted from perhaps the mood of the land. And you set that up pretty well in the beginning, leading into your piece. You say that it's ancestry upon flesh and air. Now, I'm not sure about the second prompt you used. I'm sure there's lots of shout-outs and hinges of that as well. I'm going to have to look into that to read into a little bit more maybe of the messages that are weighing on the diversity of context that you're kind of putting in with shuffling in two different prompts. But these images are brilliant. They're dark and ominous, and I thought it was really well written.
Thank you.
Very awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
Kay, just beautiful lines. I keep reading this, trying to figure out. At some point, I lose myself. I'm not complaining, but when you read, I'm always lagging behind. trying to grasp where you're going, where I'm supposed to be, and you just read too fast for me. Okay. But yeah,
I read a lot more.
Yeah. I know. I don't. It's just that it's. I'm nodding my head. Yeah, okay, I got that. I know where you're going. And then it's like, read it again. I go, God, you see something every time you read it. Something different. So it's beautiful. I love metaphors, metaphoric lines like that. Colorful lines. You do a very well, good job of that.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And how about one from Dave, please?
Oh, I'd love to. Deb, you commented on that one that Sansa takes off to those coffee cups, poisonous spoons, clink. Well, I like about the last four lines of that stanza says, the talk of the table is tented in gossip and fear along the pig line of conformity. If that isn't the coolest line I've heard in a long time, really is. And like you were always saying to Deb, the way she puts things, the words together and metaphors, between and betwixt is really amazing. And scribbled words of shame are the edge of a dead-end steering wheel. God almighty. That's so vivid in its composure, and then I like the second stanza, silent hill of howls foul up the stone age hawk scavenging land. I don't know if you meant the movie Silent Hill on the first part of that or not. I saw that movie. It scared the hell out of me. It's real creepy. And to me, that Silent Hill, you could plug that right into the rest of that line there. The images that it dredges up for me anyway. I just thought this was really amazing. And I think you did a really good job on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fantastic comment. And Stephen, while I get your link, will you comment for your wife, please?
Yes, I will. Well, first off, I'll say, Dave, yes, I felt the same way when I saw Silent Hill. I immediately thought of the movie. But you both, Deb and you, talked about my favorite line from the poem was the coffee cup's poised. As the spoons clink, the mug to shake off the dew off the remnants, because it makes me think, I mean, who hasn't heard that clinking sound, like in a diner or at home in the morning when the coffee's being stirred? And it just, and to me, thinking of shaking the dew off the remnants makes me think of shaking the sleep out of your head. But then you go on to those merchants of pious nature, and they're talking gossip and being judgmental and all that stuff that you always see so much, those groups, those little cliques sitting at the diner, drinking their coffee, and talking shit about everybody. Sorry about the SHIT.
Yeah.
But this is
true.
I thought this was neat.
That's a PG-13 word in my book. I think it's
okay. But like I said to you also in my comment, you always say, Kay, that it isn't difficult to be nice. So why be mean?
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, now I gotta get into the room. Get back in the room.
Get back in the room.
All right.
Go on.
Sky, you should like to see him. All right. This is called Death Star Forced Fasting Gets a Sith to Casting. The Empire built the Star of Death, fueled upon Darth Vader's deep breath, but hard to feed so many cross-eyed clones and keep them fit, not skin and bones. A planetary stop that plumed of fish, braised Chilean sea bass, a savory dish. Trooper said, I know a waterway spot. Vader said, let's take a shot. Trolling motor hummed as they crossed the pond until prop got tangled up in green tidewater frond. Lightsaber sliced seaweed to get them free until Jango Kin did find his piscary. Rocking underneath the cobalt sky, cast after cast and try after try, Darth leered at Stormy and tottered his fist as blazing sun crossed ozone eating morning mist. He said, you can't hit a barn with your laser gun, so how would you know where the fish are won? If we don't catch any within the hour, of course, I'll raise hands to heavens and use the force. End poem.
Wow, Stephen. Okay, for one thing, I have to say, Stephen's another poet who practically just got his prompt 5 minutes ago tonight, and then to show up with this. I'm like, oh, man, wow. And, Stephen, I bet you don't have a single question in the world as to why I chose this photo for you. I think the only thing missing from here of things that you love would be if I could have found a way to squeeze Kay in the picture somewhere. But it just, when I'm up there fishing, it's sci-fi. There's Darth Vader. It's father. I mean, it's like, wow. So, I'm always thrilled when I feel like I'm right and it's a photo that would inspire. And then I feel like, wow. Trolling motor hummed as they crossed the pond until the prop got tangled up in the green tidewater frond. Lightsaber sliced seaweed to get them free until Jango Kin did find his piscary. Now, I'm going to have to look that up. What the hell's piscary?
This way to raise fish.
I don't know either.
Say that again?
It's like a place where they raise fish. So there's a lot of fish.
I didn't know that either.
I am now educated. That's really cool. But I like the way you just yank out the lightsaber and slice up the seaweed, because, I mean, I am not unfamiliar with the hook and the line getting tangled in seaweed, and you're thinking you got this fish, and then you pull out this green slime. But I've never had the privilege of pulling out my lightsaber to slice it away. So I think that part struck me really funny. I think the whole poem is really great. If we don't catch any within the hour, of course, I'll raise hands to heaven and use the force. Perfect ending. This was absolutely brilliant, Stephen. And congrats on the 10.
Thanks.
excellent poem. Wayne, what did you think?
Well,
I started studying the words of his newest 10-rated poem as soon as he started reading it. And the words and phrases are unique. And I spent about 5 minutes trying to spell unique. I couldn't get unique spelled right. So then, this is a wonderfully written poem that sort of pisses me off. But I have to say it's okay. I can't win them all. So this is a great job with Steve, and I enjoyed your read.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I walked around the corner. There he was, standing in my bass boat. Fishing Grandma's pond. Darth Vader. Swear to God. I love the premise of this whole bit. Control the border hummed as they crossed the pond. That just started me smiling because I could just see, you're reporting, I can't believe what I just saw.
I know.
If you think about it, in the past, stuff like this would happen all the time, but nobody would believe it, so it never went on. Now that everybody's carrying a camera around with them, everybody's getting the documentation that was Darth Vader in that bass boat. My God. Got a stormtrooper, the motor. Yeah, beautifully done. Maybe put a smile on our face. That was great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. And how about I get a comment from Miss Sky?
Oh, I thought this was great. I can just see Darth Vader and the stormtroopers and Darth Vader just basically taking a piss at the stormtrooper saying, you can't hit anything, so don't even try. I'm going to have to do it myself. I thought it was very clever the way you brought in, elements of all those fandoms and bringing them all together and making it very out of place. I mean, that's a really out of place scene. It's just like in the middle of this beautiful scenic cottage,
sure,
the lake. And there's just, well, I'm Darth Vader and a Star Trooper. I thought it was really clever, the way that you went with it. Really, really well done. They're going to get it. I don't think he's going to get it either. So probably going to miss the pitch.
Awesome comment. And Kay, will you comment for your husband? And then I'll have him push your show.
This is awesome because we had a busy day today. We had gotten home around 9 o'clock from grocery shopping. So in between 9 and 10, you had written this. So I think this is pretty cool what you brought. For writing on the fly, you definitely brought something special of the humor. As I said in my comment, though, may the force be with you, or maybe the Schwartz.
The Schwartz.
Yeah.
And my Schwartz is as big as yours.
This is awesome.
Was the wind blowing?
Oh my goodness. Awesome comments. And Stephen, you want to tell us about the next couple shows before I read for Angel?
Sure. Yeah. We have a show tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's the Mortuary of Shadows. And we are bringing Kay's favorite horror character, Skinless Frank from Hellraiser. We're doing Hellraiser tonight. We've got quotes from the movie. And did you know that Hellraiser was based on a book? So we actually have quotes from the book as well to write to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a pretty cool night tonight, talking about Skinless Frank. Saying, come to Daddy. Kay's favorite line as well. And then the show after that is Wednesday night, Poetic Inklings. Bring your best Thomas Kincaid write from the last year of Thomas Kincaid shows that we've done. Bring your favorite one and maybe tell us why it's your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That is a really hard one to pick for. I was going back and forth and back and forth, and I finally just sort of did a flip the coin because I'm actually really thrilled with the ones I wrote for the Thomas Kincaid prompt. It was a great year of imagery from that prompt. All over the site. So kudos to you guys, and I will see you at the mortuary later. And that's 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And now I would like it if you guys would click on Angel's poem, and I will read for her.
Okey-doke.
Okay. This is called Flight of the Butterfly by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Our love is like the butterfly, a symbol of something set free, drifting upon perfume breezes and lavender skies, dwelling in castles built upon violet clouds. We cradle one another in gentle embrace, imbibing of the nectar of something sweeter than honeycomb. We lift and flutter to the music of forever, played by gypsy fairies who share in our delight. And while the moon sleeps, we play in the buttery sunshine, and softly we'll whisper the moon awake, sailing through the galaxy on multicolored wings, enveloped by sterling silver stars. End poem. You know, here it's, I'm sorry, it's broken record time. There's always so much beauty and romance and love oozing off the stanzas when you read a poem by Heavenly Angel. She's like the epitome of
warm fuzzies.
Yeah, that's a good one. The epitome of warm fuzzies. That's a good description. I like that one. But she always drives the emotion from the beginning, right from the first line, our love is like the butterfly, at the symbol of something set free, which, you know, I don't know too many of us who didn't real quick have that, if you love someone, set them free, if they come back, they're yours, if they don't, they never were, type of thing running through your head. And she said that in just a symbol of something set free, which I thought was really clever because it sent my mind wandering and fluttering like that butterfly. And then imbibing in the nectar of something sweeter than honeycomb. And the other really gorgeous part, and then I'll stop before I get yelled at for stealing all the lines, on multicolored wings enveloped by sterling silver stars. Absolutely breathtaking ending to a gorgeous rite, and it was my honor to read. And wherever you're flying to, Heavenly Angel, I hope it's somewhere for something good, and have fun and stay safe. And thank you for submitting the poem. Beautiful. Yeah.
The term gypsy, was that given to people, the nomadic people, after they were singled out, for example, or did they call themselves gypsies? I've always wondered that. Was that a term that was?
Well,
and
I
what
always
people
thought.
Were they Romanian? Were they Romanian? Or?
Well, if you look at the standard definition, it says a member of people originating in South Asia and traditionally having an itinerant way of life, living widely dispersed across Europe and North and South America, and speaking in language Romani that is related to Hindi, a Roman person.
Okay.
Also, another definition is a nomadic or a free-spirited person, and a lot of people are self-titled gypsies, young at heart, free at heart, never stay in one place too much. So I guess it depends on how the term is used. But
was it something they called them? Was it really something they called themselves, or is it something that other people call them?
I believe it started with them calling it themselves, but I could be mistaken.
Okay.
No, I think you're right, Deb.
I think at first it was used for the women, and then it just became
Anytime there's a script about it or something that's written about it, it sure seems that way, but it's never defined quite clearly if it was a term they used, but I guess...
That the term gypsy was derived from the idea that most Romani or Roman people used the term
for something.
So anyway, what did you think of that amazing poem?
Talking to me?
Yes, Hatter.
Oh yeah, no, it agree to everything you said. It's the warm fuzzy. It's the hallmark. It's the way she pieces it together. This is just well done. Everything she does is like should be on a Hallmark card, you know.
That's a very sweet comment. And if I get a comment from you, David.
Well, yeah, I agree with what Hatter said. It is like a Hallmark card, but it's more personal. You know, it's we all know Angel, and it's like she's got us all around the campfire. She's telling us this story every time we read one of her poems or hear it, and everybody's smiling when they hear it because it's just, it comes from a really good heart and a good soul. And this doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. I knew it was going to be like this. That's just the way she writes. And I think it's, one of the miracles of human beings to be able to convert what's in their heart and their soul into, a record that other people can enjoy too. And she's real good at that. So I thought this was a beautiful poem. Really well, really well done.
Awesome. And Wayne?
Wayne? You say Wayne? Okay, I said, as I write this comment, I'm holding my breath because an exhale may blow this delicate poem into pieces. This poem is so soft and sweet and tender and loving like a shit. I've had to get rid of these chills. Heavily keep sprinkling all over my body. It's a great job reading, Deb.
Oh, great comment all the way around. Thank you from both of us. And Sky, will you comment for Angel and then read for us, please?
Yeah, I loved how she spoke of love and the simplicity of it, yet the complex dance and music and all the sachets of nature that she put in, and then even going further into the galaxies beyond. There's something so beautiful and something that is so complex yet simple at the same time that you can call it both, but it kind of sachets between the two. And I thought she captured that quite well. Really well done, Angel.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And your poem.
Thank you. This might be a little rough. I'm still trying to see what I'm having with it. This is Old Man Graydon and the Swamp of the Shifting Trees by Sky Darkle. There's a broom of ashen alabole, a pearl river musk that anchors itself far within the clutches of thin timber, the skin of rhino husk threading knuckles, the screws of arthritic knots bolting themselves like burnished whispers, echoes shifting on branchless limbs, the half of myrrh. Here in the stagnant mire of rust greens and sea moss, their nimble roots wade through obscured mud beds. The glass of green and sun yellow catches of cattails, making it impossible to see their traveling dance. There are many who dare to find the ruin, said to be half swallowed and half born, a gateway tower made of realm stone. But as the swamp gods grin and fog continues to dawn, there are none who live to map its gravestone labyrinth, none but Old Man Graydon, the warden of the Tourette. He alone knows its secret, blind and tongueless, deaf to all things but the shifting of the tree. And poem.
Wow, Sky.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't think you should change
mm-hmm.
it, but
it wasn't but depressing this time.
No. It's bold and vivid and filled with enchantments and great images, but also, like, the phrasing here, say, here in the stagnant mire of russet greens and tea moss, their nimble roots were made through obscure mud beds. And it's like, you wouldn't think that something was ever, you know, thriving when you look at that picture. You know what it is? My mind's racing all over the place. The glass of green and sun yellow catches on cattails, making it impossible to see their traveling dance. And it's just that you had my head spinning with the different images that you were pulling in from the photo. A gateway tower made of realm stones. Realm stones, how brilliant. Which realm are we on? But as the swamp gods grin and frogs continue to dawn, fog continues till dawn, there are none who live to map its gravestone labyrinth, none but Old Man Garden, the warden of the turret. And I could almost picture him bent over trying to just keep that one little part of the memories from his lifetime, from past realms, alive by keeping that one little portal, that one little glimpse, that one reminder. And although I didn't feel sad from your words, I feel a little bit of lonesomeness for the guy, for the gardener, for the old man in the realm. But he knows the secrets. So, like, there's always a give and take for things. Deaf to all things but the shifting of the trees. I love death. I love the last line. I think the last line wraps it up and puts a bow on top, because I would imagine that he's getting joy from that shifting. And what else can you want? They say if you get joy from what you do, then you're never working a day in your life, right?
Thank you. I'm glad you got that it was a portal, even though I didn't say the word portal. I'm glad that you got the tower was a portal. I was a little worried about that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think you zoned right in on it, and I'm sitting here now wondering if something happens to the old man who's going to take over and keep the portal from crumbling the rest of the way. So you might want to give that some thought.
Well, you know what it
guy.
Looks like.
I go ahead, Hatter.
What it looks like. What it looks like is the iconic picture of the torch of the Statue of Liberty on the beach. It was the beginning of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And it just looks so much like that.
That feeling.
The aggressive or the more intelligent life form that controls everything. He's usually got one story. The people that live in the swamp hiding all the time. They've got another legend about what that tower actually is. And then there's the real. Let's see.
Thank you, Hatter.
Yeah, very much. What was the other part? I guess with the events. You had said it, Deb. The gateway tower made of realm stones. Okay, you don't even have to look at what it meant. It just that's the puzzle.
I don't.
Puzzle
I think I just made it up. It's not really a such thing as realm stones. I thought it would be cool.
I know.
There were
that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. Is that, yeah,
that's
you don't
brilliant.
Even have to. Yeah. But, the old man in the garden, the warden of the turret. Beautifully done. I love this stuff. Good job, guys.
Thank you, Hatter.
And how about a comment from David, please?
Well, thank you. This, when I was listening to Sky read this,
it dawned on me that it reminded me of a Jimi Hendrix tune, All Along the Watchtower. And, you know, having this turret there and somebody up standing atop of it, you know, it says, all along the watchtower, the princess kept her view. You know, it's kind of the same scenario almost, you know. I really like this a whole bunch. It has mystery in it, and it makes you wonder. It makes you almost want to go out in the middle of the woods and see if you can't find something like this, you know. I would do something like that, you know. I'd get out there in a motorboat and putt around and smoke a couple joints and have some fun, you know, and take the dog with me, and maybe I could run into something like that, or at least a hookah-smoking caterpillar anyway. So,
That's where the stories get started. Last time we saw him, he was heading into the woods.
Yeah. Baby. Oh, this was great, Sky. It was really, really a neat fairy tale. It's delightful in its content, you know. I just really, really liked this. I thought it was really well done.
Thank you. And I usually put it in the author's notes, but the name Graydon means graybeard. So his name means graybeard.
Oh.
I was picturing him like, you know.
Okay. Way cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Wayne, while I get your link, will you come in for Sky?
Unmuted. Yeah, I was muted. I said, this is wonderful. I've missed the wonderful tone and emotion in Sky's voice. She could read the ingredients in a pickle jar and capture my soul. This poem is wonderful. Words are excellent. And the way you read it, this poem is magical. It takes a while for her after she reads, but haze lifts my head. I love you, Sky.
Thank you, Wayne. I really love pickles, so I'd be up to that. Pickles and olives, I'm up to that.
Great point.
There you go. Slide the pickle jar over next to Sky while Wayne steps up and reads for us.
This prompt, I was the one that was crying today about the prompt, because then I looked at my picture and I said, wow, there's no trees and there's no flowers, no sky, no stars, no mountains, there's no ocean, there's no waves, there's no nothing. So I said, it's with the football players. So I decided to start writing. I wrote the first two stanzas and I said, the way I can make this right is if I use every single word that Deb gave me. So I used every single word she gave me. So here's what it goes like. It sounds like it goes, roll tide. In college football, Alabama's a giant with coaches like Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. Won more titles than any other team. Players they had were like a fan's dream. Quarterbacks like Namath and Rogers and Starr. No wonder the team went so far. Receivers like Julio Jones and Ozzie Newsome. Those two receivers are totally awesome. They were the ambassadors to the bowl game. Their footprints enveloped the Hall of Fame. Tidewater was composed of a crimson tide. Had an orchard of scarlet sands on their side. Attacked with a blazing, blistering monsoon. They're dwelling like castles in the afternoon. Guarded the rubber with gripping and stinging offense, like a hurricane that leaves a pathway on defense. Team had opal jewels as roots in the bright tangerine soil. Defeated daffodil teams like thistle seaweed left ready to boil. Victory was sweet nectar from a bumblebee's honeycomb, always triggering a kaleidoscope of icicle excitement at home. With lavender breeze found on barefoot turquoise beaches, to the green fields atop moonstone mountains their joy reaches. As rough as the flowing lava under the cobalt sky, as finesse as a yellow orchid floating by, on a quartz seashell going down a violet waterway, awaiting for the word, it's time to play. In?
Play ball.
Holy smokes. You know what? I'm glad that you kept going with this one. Where's that part? Oh, wait a minute. I can't find. Okay, with the screws of arthritic knots bolting themselves like burnished whispers. Oh, I hit the wrong book. Okay. No wonder I couldn't find the paragraph I was looking for. I was back on. Okay. Wait a minute. Attacked with a blazing, blistering monsoon. Their dwelling was like castles in the afternoon. Guarded the rubber with gripping and stinging offense like a hurricane that leaves a pathway on defense. That is some vivid imagery, and I'll bet you no one ever heard a football with that kind of a description. That's brilliant. And where was this? Okay. V victories with sweet nectar from bumblebee honeycomb, always triggering a kaleidoscope of icicle excitement at home. I'm telling you, you took work. You, I'm pretty sure, have said that you don't do much as far as abstract poetry, but I think that you just took abstract to entirely new heights with this one, Wayne. I like how you forced yourself to use those words with no trees to come up with this and to quite brilliantly describe this football game. The team had opal jewels as roots in the bright tangerine soil, defeated daffodil team like the tissy seaweed ready to boil. I mean, I can absolutely say that during no game ever, whether I was cheerleading or watching football for the football, did I ever hear someone say that they defeated the daffodil team. I think that is too cool. I really, really, really like where you took this, Wayne, and I'm glad that you,
thank you,
stuck with it.
Appreciate the comment. Yeah, I had to.
And
I had to surprise so much.
Seriously, Wayne, if it doesn't speak to you, I don't ever want you to write to it. So please, don't ever feel bad to ask. But I'm really glad you finished with this one because it's awesome.
I'm glad to stick with two.
Good, good. Sky, will you comment for Wayne and then push any show you have going on?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm sorry, I thought I was going to be called on after, and I was trying to make some tea. I said this is really, really well done. And I personally really love when people bring in words and take them out of their natural element. And they have to figure out how to be creative and how to implement language in settings that they're not very commonly heard, like you did with naming the teams. I thought that it was quite brilliant, and I personally love that kind of challenge. And I'm like, okay, how can I use these words that don't naturally go here or go in this language?
Right.
And you know, you've done it so well. Where was this? Right here. The team had opal jewels as roots in bright and tangerine soil defeated daffodil teams. I think that's actually the line that Seb picked, actually. But I thought it was brilliant, brilliant. And the tide water was composed of crimson tide, had the orchid and the scarlet fans on their side. I thought this was totally clever. And I have to say, I never would have thought that I would have read a poem so heavily done in, like, sport, yet so glamorous in language. Like, the two, and I never would have thought that they would have complemented each other so well, but you did it so well that it does, and I'm quite elated. But you did a really, really great job, and, of course, those long line end rhymes aren't easy to do. Putting all those things together and making it cohesive and making a storyline, brilliant, brilliantly done.
Great comment.
Awesome comment. And what kind of shows you have happening?
Oh, so next week. Oh my gosh, this week is special edition volume number 7. And you know how I love these special editions, so I'm super excited. It is the human counterpart part. One, it's part one because I have many of these, so you might see this theme again sometime down the line. In this episode of Storyboard Special Edition, we will be featuring non-human characters drawn in the human counterpart. You must pay some sort of tribute to the character by bringing in puns, shout-outs, clever pins, storylines, character personality features. Be original while providing tribute. And you don't have to make it really heavy into tribute. You can just do a couple little things. You have to sign up to get a prompt. Don't forget, I think many people here already have one. If you don't and you want one, just message me. I'm super excited. I've been waiting to give Deb Lady and the Tramp, I think for about a year now, Deb, huh? I've been telling you I got Lady and the Tramp for you.
Yeah, I was going to say months and months for sure.
it's finally here. So, 8 o'clock on this Saturday. And just so you know, Deb, I did not read your poem. Next month I'm doing another Tom Hanks film, and I want you to read it too then, because I know you like my reaction. So I didn't read it.
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Saving it for my next Tom Hanks, which is next month.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I like reading for you without you having seen it ahead of time, so I do appreciate that.
And thank you.
All right. Now, let me see. Prophet. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hatter, comment for Wayne, please.
Yeah, Bear Bryant. Wherever that man went, winning seasons followed. Everyone from Texas A&M to, geez, where else was Vanderbilt to, where else was he? Gosh darn it. When he landed in Bama, he beat Auburn.
Kentucky.
He beat Auburn for the first time, I guess. Then went 11-0 his second year there. And here's the rest of his history. And the poem was great.
Oh, thank you.
I love anything. Thank you. I love anything that gets back to the history of iconic people. It's always
Nick Saban. Nick Saban passed his records now. He's even better than Bryant was. So they're two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, coaches of all time, right there. Saban and Bryant was two of the best. If they went to eight, they probably are the two best.
You know, you got to look at it too as a different game. There was different ways. The championships were the bowl games were set. Some of it wasn't fair, you know. I think it was a total different game. Stats could be misleading. They only played 10 games.
Right.
I believe.
Right.
I believe
in the playoffs. Now they got playoffs. Yeah. It's a lot better now when they got playoffs and stuff, and they're still winning. So they're a hell of a team.
Yeah. And they all lived for that dreaded feud between the your rivals, you know, the Oklahoma State. Yeah, Auburn, Alabama, sure. And
just
got to
say that Wayne knows Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, that's it.
Yeah, it was a lot more about head coaches beating other head coaches than it was basically as much now. I mean, all in all, they have to have winning seasons, but they didn't. You don't hear the you know, Bear Bryant against any of, it's just not as much pronounced. I think it's easier that the way information was passed to the sports page of the paper instead of ESPN. So,
Roll Tide.
Awesome comment. And Dave Prophet, will you comment for Wayne and then read us your poem?
Yeah, I will. Well, I'm not much of a football fan. I never have been. Actually, it just kind of bored the hell out of me. But but nonetheless, I thought this was really a almost like a yin and yang of football. Here you have this brilliant description that Wayne put, you know, into these football guys. And I'm sure if they read it, they'd wonder about it, because, you know, it's not this gridiron picture that Wayne has painted for them, for everybody to read. You know, it's not a bunch of badasses and, you know, guys with black marks under their eyes and this sort of crap. It's opal jewels as roots in bright tangerine soil, defeated daffodil teams like this. Thistle, seaweed,
football
ready to boil, you know. Say,
football,
you guys, you know. Anyway, I thought it was really cool, Wayne. You did a really good job, a lot better than I could have done with this prompt, I'll tell you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the comment.
You got a question. You got a question. The mascot.
Dave, you're on the board.
What's that?
Oh, okay, I said awesome comment for an awesome poem, and David, yours is on the board.
Okay, this is called Spiritus Citharum Deorum, and it means spirit of the guitar gods. And it sounds like this. Left-handed Strat handler, flower child in the 60s, ambassador to Alice's Cheshire Cat, Voodoo Child in Cobalt LSD, Floating Through the Purple Haze, Albert Einstein's Comprehension of the Electric Guitar, No One's Ever Heard Anything Like Him, Had to Go to England to Be Heard, 100-Watt Marshall Stax Hurricanes, Pin Your Ears Back in Psychedelia, Kaleidoscope Monsoon Footprints Running Off at Odd Angles to the Past, Myron Florin's Accordion, Mic Through a Marshall Stack, Just Doesn't Sound the Same, One and a Two and a Buckle My Shoe, Lemon Sisters Singing Black Sabbath Heaven and Hell, Foxy Lady's Moonstone Hips, Stinging Denouncement of Lawrence's Hopeless Green Imitations, Hey Joe's Got His Gun, It's Violet Barrel Stamped 44 Magnum, Its Grips Notched with the Tidewater of His Old Lady, The Infamous Infidel, Says Goodbye to Freedom's Beach That End at the Bridge of Sighs, This Arch of No Return, Stratocaster's Oilations, Letters to Jimi Hendrix from Robin Trower, Coasting On Through Incense and Peppermint, These Quartz Bullets Punching Holes into the Dark Mother's Space-Time, Joe Satriani's Now Flying into the Blue, Machine Guns You with Millisecond Notes, Blazing Off His Chrome Guitar, His Numero Uno Student Steve Vai Picks Up the Stitch, All Those Notes That Some Won't Understand in Confusion's Own Envelope, Refusing to Leave, Instead Fading into Opal Smoke, Pleading with Turquoise Vapors Not to Leave Misunderstood, Recycle Back into Something Less Than Intelligent, All for Those with Pop Music Menus with a Food Stamp, with a Food Stained Bib Tucked Under Their Cell Phone Chin, Waiting for the Mountain That Will Never Come Unless They Open a Can of Voodoo Chili, Still No Guarantee of Understanding, The Traffic Signals Are So Busy in Crosstown Traffic, Something About Left-Handed Guitarists, End Poem.
Well, I have to say, David, this screamed at you. It's obvious.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I can tell. I was catching Hendrix vibes, and for some reason, Albert Einstein, which it just makes no sense whatsoever, but you read Albert Einstein's Comprehension of the Electric Guitar, and my mind went to the Edgar Winter Group playing Frankenstein music. You know that music? So, like, I don't know why that, because neither, there's no correlation, but there was in my brain, so go figure. Lemon Sisters Singing Black Sabbath Heaven and Hell. Wow, I can't believe how many you pack in here. Foxy Ladies, Moon Hips. So, like, the little flashes of music that you had spinning through my head as you were reading, the images, 44 caliber Magnum, Its Grips Notched with the Tidewater of His Old Lady, The Infamous Infidel Says a Goodbye to Freedom. I mean, this really came out great. The psychedelic trip through music and guitar playing. And then, of course, unless they open a can of voodoo chili, still no guarantee of understanding. You know, that must be some wicked-ass chili if it's voodoo chili, because, like, yeah, usually there's zombies.
Well, you know it.
Or the Walking Dead. So, like, I love that you had such a great time with this. I think that the images that you pulled in, that the fun that you had was, and the joy that was obvious from the photo speaking to you and speaking to everyone is one of my favorite aspects of doing these. So it's like a gift to see what these photos inspire in you and prove to myself, yeah, I was right. I look at that picture and I'm like, wow, Dave Prophet could spin a story out of that bitch, and he sure as hell did. Great job.
Thank you, Deborah. I had a fun time with this. It just wrote itself, really.
Yeah, now I can tell by the details and the enthusiasm in the read whether the poet really had a good time with the photo. And I think I feel bad on nights where I feel like somebody stumbled and forced it. I don't ever want anybody to force it, because when they don't force it, you get masterpieces, and I like making you guys happy. Corny, I know. How about what you think of the poem?
No.
Hendrix in your mind?
You know that voodoo chili, I think a lot of times Voodoo Child was written as child. And I don't know if that's another deep south or another word for child, because that's where they would speak it, like a French Cajun, French child.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jimi Hendrix, if you look at it, half the time it's spelt that way. It's spelt child. It's Voodoo Child.
Well, yeah, but it's two separate. There's two separate songs, Voodoo Child and Voodoo Chili. It's not the same thing.
Oh, I've seen it listed on both. Voodoo Chili.
How do you eat one of them?
Huh. I didn't know he had another song, Voodoo Chili.
Cool. Yep. Wayne, what did you think?
Oh, I said, wonderful Montrose of melodies. Hey, Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? Excuse me,
man.
You put Robin Trailer and Hendrix together, you have two of the greatest all-time psychedelic guitar players that existed. I can hear them now. All I can do is breathe a bridge of sighs. This is wonderful for my mind, and I want to float away. Great job, Rockin' Dave.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And before my sky has to leave, did you want to make one last comment?
Did I thought this was quite brilliant, along with you at the beginning, being able to bring so many things into one piece and make cohesive one was brilliant. I really like the part that I want to focus on my comment is towards the end, where you say that, where was it? For those with pop music menus, with a food stained bib tucked under their cell phone chins, waiting for the mountain that will never come. I thought that was really clever, especially the pop music minion. I do think, so it's kind of funny you bring up that Black Sabbath, because I recently, I was listening to I have a Black Sabbath record, and my godson was so thrilled because my record player broke, but then we got a new one, and so he's been going through all my records and listening to Black Sabbath. And I think it is so important to, cultivate a good classic music into youth. But I also, I don't just push off their music. I listen to some of their music and I let them cultivate me as well. But I do think there needs mm-hmm. to be a give and there could be an appreciation for both elements and genres and through different ages. But I do think it is totally important to kind of cultivate that love of classic. I mean, that's what I think about there when you say, you know, that tucked under cell phone, all those newer things, you know, pull out those records and help.
Yeah.
Help the youth appreciate those vintage things. So I really loved that bit. The whole piece was wonderful. I enjoyed it, but I especially would like to highlight that clever stanza there. Really well done.
Well, thank you very much, Sky. I appreciate it.
Amazing comment, Sky, and I appreciate you calling. And I suppose I may see you at the mortuary if you're still awake.
I am. I'm staying a little late. I'm up late. I don't have to work tomorrow, so I will be over there.
Cool.
Have a good night.
There. Love and respect. And it looks like my sweet is here. Let me let her in. Sweet.
Hello. How are you?
Welcome to the show, dear heart. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And you're just in time to hear how to read.
Yay!
Unmute.
Did you say Hatter? Did you say Hatter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I didn't call to get my numbered picture, but I picked a picture that was sort of cool. What could all this mean? It's a cool picture. I sort of enhanced that picture. That's what it goes like this. The dawn showed oceans that were half full. The rivers dropped to a stream. The mountains ate the glacier ice. What could all this mean? Dell assumed we began at noon, but it's already after three. What started as even was never the reason to scare the hell out of me. If you start when convenient and can't see the line, don't point your finger like the sign of the times. What's written is skewed. There's nothing new. We can only guess what's in store. Don't say it's dying when no one's trying. We can't take it anymore. Yeah.
Sam Hatter.
Info. Just can't take
don't
it anymore.
Say it's dying when no one is trying. We can't take it anymore. The ending is so true. But all right, back. The dawn showed oceans half full. The rivers dropped to a stream. The mountains ate the glacier ice. What could all this mean? Just that part, Hatter, the truth in that. We got the rivers dropping and the oceans are half full, but the glaciers are melting down. And if the glaciers are melting down and they're still not filling them up, what could this mean? The doom there hit me. If you start when convenient and can't see the line, don't point your finger like it's the sign of the time. I like where you took this. It's got a feel. I have this in my amazing brevity folder because, like, it's sort of like a dare, a challenge. Don't just sit there and point at everybody else and, you know, it's his fault, her fault. It's collectively our fault. And if we all try to do a little something, it makes big changes. I know that this is in a more horrifying scale, but look at the time when almost everybody was on lockdown. And smog was lifting, and the carbon footprints were dwindling, and it was just like a different thing. So you can make a difference. You can make a difference, and that was a mega scale example of the proof that's in the pudding.
Yeah.
Great brevity.
It's like the 600-pound elephant. It's like the 600-pound gorilla in the room. It's all going to come down to fresh water. If we don't know how to freaking keep it and store it for ourselves, that's going to be a major issue. I mean, guaranteed fresh water.
Absolutely, yeah. What did you think, Wayne?
I think we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. I believe a lot of this stuff that we all worry about is a lot of news hype. But that's just me. You know, the mean temperature of the Earth has dropped significantly over the last 500 years, and it's still dropping like crazy. Everybody says we're getting hotter. We're not getting hotter. We're a lot colder. Today was like 72 degrees in August in Kentucky. You know, it's the world's. If you look at the drop, if you look at the, if you turn all the temperatures, it drops like crazy over the last 400 years. So everybody thinks it's getting hotter. We ain't getting hotter. We're a lot colder. So that's what I think. As far as water goes, the colder it gets, the more water sucks up, and it makes ice the glaciers, and we lose a lot of water, a whole lot of water. Because, you know, there's like 200 towns around Italy that's way underwater now. Of course, when there was ice age here, all the water was up in the ice, and there wasn't the water for left anywhere else. So anyway, but I just said all this hype about what's going bad and good, you know, and I think it's a lot of news media just to get us all scared so we can't function right. But anyway, great point, Mayor Hatter. There's a lot of emotion in it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Dave, you want to comment for Hatter?
Oh, I do. Boy, do I. I like this really well. It's full of Hatter-esque rhyme and meter. There's a lot of truth in this too. My biggest bitch about the environment these days is what, you know, mowing down all of the rainforest and mowing down all these trees and stuff. These trees and stuff are what control the thermostat of the earth, you know, and they help absorb all the CO2, which is a greenhouse gas, you know, and when that increases, then, you know, we get this warm up or cool down or whatever it happens to be. You know, you couldn't fool me by saying that it was cooler when it was 104 degrees in Oregon about 2 days ago. It seems like it's plenty hot up here. But anyway, I thought this was really well done. And they all assumed we began at noon, but it's already after 3. We started as even was never the reason to scare the hell out of me. And then I like the third stanza really well. If you start when convenient and can't see the line, don't point your finger like it's a sign of the times. You know, you got this whole cross-section of people that latch onto something like global warming or whatever, and they sit back and they fold their arms in front of them and stand there like the Shell Answer Man and think that they're so wise and all of their wisdom when they spout all this bullshit that they've heard from somebody else, you know. And, you know, I really like that stanza. It really brought that home to me. Anyway,
thank you.
I really liked your poem. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before I get a comment for Hatter from Sweet, let's say hello to Wayne, who dropped. I'm glad you called back, Wayne.
Yeah, I got so excited I hit the wrong button.
Ah, well, I'm glad you dialed back. And let's also say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hey, sis, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Glad you're here. And, Sweet, will you comment for Hatter?
Lady A and Sweet.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about the whole poem is, you know, it's not about the cause. It's not about what do you believe. It's the water or it's the elephant or the whatever it is. It's, don't say it's dying when no one is trying. We can't take it anymore. Because we all have this great cause, but we're all so busy fighting about what it is or what it isn't. No one is trying. We're too busy arguing about what we're going to try to do that we can't figure out what we're going to agree to do to make anything that might be wrong to be it right, to make it right. Because we're too busy about I'm so right and you're so wrong that nobody's trying to do anything to make anything even come to an agreement or compromise to maybe save something that might be worthy of saving. So,
hear, hear.
Don't say it. So, I mean, what are we trying to save if we can't get past our own noses? To compromise and say, hey, maybe we'd slow down using the water, or maybe we should, you know, maybe think about the green effect, or, you know, maybe we shouldn't use so much toilet paper, even if it's not the end of the world. Just maybe we should conserve a little bit, but we're too damn busy arguing to try anything. And that's what I got out of your poem, Heather.
Yeah, if you're going to have a debate in any manner, you have to define what it is. And there's so many definitions of global warming that if you don't start at the same spot, it's a ridiculous argument.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, thank you. Thank you, Sweet.
Everyone. Thank you, Hatter, for bringing that. And if you guys would click on Iris's poem, I will read for you. Tell me when you see it. Do you see it?
I see one called Tale of Insectopia. Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Trying to figure out where is my, there it is, okay. And here we go. This is A Tale of Insectopia by Iris 3. The kingdom of Insectopia flourished dancing and flying, enveloped in the breeze of green stalks and ripe fruits in the orchard, slurping nectar from blossoms of monsoon. Until one day, a sorceress moth arrived, casting hurricanes on King Butterfly's castle. Imprisoning the queen in brick-red moth wings, she hypnotized the king with her malevolent eye. The hypnotized king now sat on a throne of peridot leaves draped in a rainbow cape. Banished his daughter from the chrysalis, she walked away, lost, barefoot and shivering. A dragonfly peeked out from the waterway. Iridescent wings comforted the exiled girl. The moth can be driven away only one way. You must find the turquoise vines growing around the honeycomb nestled on the tree. Butterfly princess and the dragonfly flew into the overgrown hedges and trees. The bees swarmed down with stinging bites as they both fended off their attack. She found the glittering turquoise herb, escaping into yellow daffodil petals. She flew back to her own castle. Bombings overpowered the evil moth sorceress, who flew away never to return. The king recovered, his queen now freed, the butterfly monarch, and his family rejoiced with leaves, berries, and rainbow wings. End poem.
Wow. Talk about a totally enchanted poem. It was like a fairy tale, the kingdom of the insectopia. I love that word, insectopia. Dancing and flying, enveloped in the breeze of green stalks and ripe fruits in the orchard. It was like the insect utopia there is sort of Garden of Eden-ish with the fruits and the beauty, and we got a butterfly, the King Butterfly's castle. Very, very cool play on the monarch with having the king in there. And the butterfly princess and the dragonfly flew into the overgrown hedges, and they fought off the stinging bites and fended off their attacks and found the glittering turquoise herb. I mean, it was like a little mini fairy tale adventure. And it ends with berries and rainbow wings. So, you know, oozing with sweetness. Iris, I think they totally enchanted you, Mom. Beautiful work. David, what do you think of this story?
Did you ask me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes I can hear you just fine, and sometimes I can't. I don't know. It's a tin can and strings down there, I think. But I really like this. I thought it was really fairy tale like and interesting. I never really quite put insects in that. I don't know, that scenery, I guess, or that scenario. It was an interesting take on it, and a dragonfly peeked out from the waterway. Iridescent wings comforted the exiled girl. The moth can be driven away only one way. You must find the turquoise vines growing around the honeycomb nestled in the tree. That's pretty cool. The whole poem is really fascinating. A great storyline in it, and it holds the reader's attention from start to finish. It's eloquently expressed, too. I thought this individual did a really good job writing this. It was really fun, a very fun poem.
Great comment, Dave. Thank you. And Wayne, what did you think?
You're welcome.
I think it's a wonderful poem that reads like a classic write that some famous author would write. It's got great wording, and it's a wonderful fairy tale for generations to come. Wonderful job on this. Good job. I liked it a lot. Good read.
Very much. And, Sweet, will you comment on Iris's poem and then read yours for us, please?
Oh, absolutely. I love the story. First off, I love butterflies and dragonflies. So And for me, this is beyond a fairy tale. I think it dips in the pool of fantasy and a little bit of sci-fi for me. I think it's colorful, it's whimsical, and it has both fluid motion in both the words and in the read. And I love poems that kind of dance, and this kind of dance. It has a fluidity to, like, a dancing movement and an ebb and flow, and I really thought it was beautiful. And now for me, I love this picture, by the way.
I think I want to mute their phone so I don't hear a click in the background.
Is somebody making dinner or something? Could you maybe mute your phone?
What do you hear?
Now. Thank you. And my sweet, take us away.
I did two poems on this one, and I actually chose this one, so I didn't finish the other one, so we're going to go with this. A Gandhi dancer's daughter. She excelled charcoal ashes, swirled in the brisk evening breeze. Something by Boston, a dog, something in the
sweet, we're losing you.
Iron horse of Emmy, clickety clack. Stutters of lonely excels.
My sweet.
Sorry. Yes.
Sweet. Can you start over, hon? Because we only got every other word. You sound like you're underwater.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah.
Much. Yes.
Okay. All right. She excelled charcoal ashes. Swirled in the
brisk.
I'm breaking up, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost you almost altogether there.
Lost a half a line there.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to try to make this better. All right.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Way better.
Okay. Charcoal ashes swirled in the brisk evening breeze, dusting sidewalks and windows, rustling through trees, and dogs walking humans sucked in her ebony essence silently. Rustled railroad ties bind history to lies. Iron horse of ebony, clickety-clack stutters of lonely. Excel the crimson flame, inhale the fresh air of pain. A sultry song sashays in blue tone notes, sings low and sweet through sultry lips. Trumpet glistens gold and sunshine glow, black stockings and an ice-cold brew, a penny for a kiss and a bite of food, a night in a dark saloon. A Gandhi daughter's baby tugged the chains of brass collars. Hands covered in coal miner's dust linger. Diamonds shine in revenge on every finger. End poem.
What an ending. Diamonds shine in revenge on every finger. I absolutely loved the ending. But let's back up a little bit. Charcoal ashes swirled in the brisk evening breeze, dusting sidewalks and windows, rustling through trees. And I'm like, whoa, we got some rhyme happening here. And sweetie, I'm glad that the picture spoke to you, because for some reason when I first saw this and I saw the sassy little redhead, my thought was, look at that, sweet stone hatter's home. So I was curious as to where you were going to go with it. But I like the sultry song, sashays in blue tone notes, sings low and sweet through sultry lips, trumpet glistens glow in the sunshine, gold in the sunshine glow. I think that you gave it a bluesy, jazzy feel. And between the wording and your sultry voice, it gives it texture. Black stockings and ice cold brew, a penny for a kiss and a bite of food, a night in a dark saloon.
I like where you took this, and I think that that this petite chick in the photo is you, and I like that you brought your sassy, sultry self into the images and pulled them through for us. Exhale the crimson flame. Inhale the fresh air of pain. Holy smokes. Just that one line is like goosebump worthy. So like you have a lot of different images running through my head there. And then at the bottom in your author's notes where you put that the, I'm just seeing that now, it is a term for an old-time railroad maintenance worker. How cool is that? So now you got to wonder if you were, okay, section unkept on certain sections of the tracks, an official representative of the railroad. So I like how you pulled in the information about the railroad itself and not just the woman and the moon and I really, really like when you took it. Thank you so much. Hatter, what did you think?
I probably was sort of a bitch to get somebody that could fit into that uniform being a Gandy dancer. I didn't know that a Gandy dancer, wow. But it's regular maintenance, right? Regular maintenance workers on the old town road. You know, it's like, it reminds me of when you would have those contests with the cowgirls with the shorty shorts and the half open tops. And I grew up on a farm. I never saw girls like that. So I...
Neither have I.
But, that's
well,
just
I always...
Okay.
Dave, what did you think?
Oh, I like this one a lot. She exhaled the charcoal ashes swirled in the brisk evening breeze, dusting sidewalks and windows, rustling through the trees. That's got a lot of cadence to it right there. And dogs walking humans sucked in her ebony essence silently. Rusted railroad ties bind history to lies. Iron horse of ebony clickety-clack stutters of lonely. Exhale the crimson flame. Inhale the fresh air of pain. That's a really, really cool second stanza there, I think. It says a lot about what was going on with the railroad and what still goes on with it today. Some description of about the Iron Horse, and then I also didn't know what a Gandy dancer was either, or a brass collar. I've got my own definition of a brass collar, but in reference to the railroad, official representative of the railroad, a big wig, whatever, you know. So I thought that was really, really cool, and. I learned something from your poetry tonight, sweet, and that's always a good thing. I always learn something from your poetry anyway, so well done, my lady.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Could have found the mute button. And Lady A, will you comment for sweet, please?
Yes, I thought this was... I thought this was very, I'm going to say romantic, I guess. I loved how you put it together. I loved her persona that came through with your descriptions of, the way she looked. And but also, I thought I love the word, the use of the word sultry in this, and blue tone notes, and her black stockings. She just had this great personality that came through in a time when it reminded me like of the Roaring Twenties, kind of a romantic time when women were finding themselves, I guess you could say. I thought it was great. I really liked it.
Thank you, Lady.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments. And excuse me. I'm sorry, Wayne, did I let you comment? Do you want to comment for Sweet?
No. Yes, I do. This is beautiful and wonderfully descriptive. I always wanted to have a candy dancer or any kind of dancer. This has great flow with a bit of sassiness. I had my head down hoping you didn't drag me out on the dance floor because you're so much woman, I don't think I could have made it. It's physically wonderful and sexy and sweetness for sure. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne, so much.
You're wonderful. I mean,
awesome.
You're welcome.
And Dave, I was going to ask you to read for Budo, but before you, if you want to take a peek at that while I get Sweet to push her next show.
Ah, Thursday night is, oh, it's been that kind of a week. And I have some really great sayings I'm putting up. It's going to be just one of those weeks. Let me see. I've got them up here. I have not put them up on my board yet, but I have some of my cards up. Let's see some of the things that I've got going up this week, if I can get them up. Never hold your farts in. They travel up your spine and into your brain, and that's where the crappy ideas come from. So.
That's a good idea.
So this week's theme is stress relaxing. Being stressed, that relaxing makes you more stressed because you're not working on what's making you stressed. So that's the theme of the show is stress relaxing. So that's you become more stressed about relaxing because you're not working on what's stressing you out. So anything that makes you stressed about not doing it because you can't relax because you're so stressed. So just some humor and some great things to write about, and that's kind of what my show is because it's been that kind of a week. So hopefully you guys will like some of the things I put up and you'll write to them and we'll have fun.
So what you're saying is that writing poetry is like diarrhea medicine.
Well, no, that's just you know, I wouldn't put it that way, but... I'm just saying we need to have a little fun. It's been a lot of stress for a lot of people I know, so I'm thinking I'm just going to go a little crazy this week and have a little fun.
I know.
Another one.
I just wanted to hear you laugh before you left.
Yeah. And I've got one, like, I have a dry clean only sweater that's about to learn some harsh truths about living with me. So that'll be fun.
It sounds like fun. We could all use some laughter, that's for sure. And, okay. Dave, I put the poem that Budo wrote on the board. If you would read that, I'd appreciate it.
I will. It's called Americana, and it goes like this. The gang's all here, shouts the elated carnival barker. Rat Rod, Stock, and Muscle Demons grace the parking lot of Joe's All-American, where Big Eights and Quarter Pounders, Crinkles and Egg Creams rule supreme. Mopar, Ford, Chevy, Caddy, Tucker, Edsel, Lincoln, and Studebaker in hues of candied metal plate brilliance, rally stripes and flip-flop extremes galore. Carbon dating Flowmasters growl, Hollies and Edelbrock's gulping O2 octane, bucket seats, strain and polished chrome trim, gleam under spotlight inspection, a plethora of Americana at the fingertips, super sports power in setting sun's visage, homegrown, patriotic, and ultra-modified, yet sadly dwindling in fewer numbers, changeling ghosts of the day after day, year by year, vicious attrition monster. But tonight, of all nights, in a small town called Nowheresville, in red, white, and blue country, the gang, rubbing, proud, is all here. End of poem.
Thank you, David. I have to say, mm-hmm. while you were reading, I wondered what Voodoo would zero in on. Would it be the diner, the style of the diner, the cars? You know, you just never know quite for sure where
yeah.
the person's going to go. And then when he got mm-hmm. to, like, where you were reading the Mopar, Ford, Chevy, Caddy, Trucker, Edsel, and the carbon dating Flowmaster Growl, the plethora of Americana at the fingertips. All those terms are things. When I was in high school, I dated the running back, and he taught me how to drive a stick shift on his 64 Impala. it made me think of those times, because they would talk about some of the things that he included, like the chrome trim. And I thought there was super sport power and the setting sun visage. There were just so many pieces that brought me back to the teenager
yeah.
who was watching her boyfriend and his friends all working on their car under the hood. And I actually, not on any of these cars today with their own brain and stuff like that, but when you still, when you change spark plugs and set the timing gear and stuff like that, at the time when I was a teenager, you know, you want the boys to be impressed. So I learned how to do a tune-up. So some of the terminology took me back. I thought that he did a really cool job on this. Thank you so much, Budo. This was a really fun piece. And a trip down memory lane, too. So thanks. And Dave, you read awesome. Do you want to comment for Budo?
Yeah, I'd like to. The second half of the second to the last stanza there, it says, "Yet sadly dwindling in fewer numbers, changeling ghosts of the day after day, year by year, vicious attrition monster." You know, it's bad enough that we're losing a lot of these old cars, you know, these American cars, going through the recycling process or whatever. But there's a lot of people in foreign countries that love these old American cars, and they're buying them right out from underneath us. They got a lot of money to throw around, and so they buy up a lot of these old Chevelles and Mustangs and stuff like this. And it's too bad, because it's part of an American history. Nobody else produced these cars. Nobody except America. It's part of our heritage, and I would wonder how many of our new cars are going to be around in 53 years. I have a 1968 Oldsmobile Cutlass, and everything still works in it. You know, I mean, even the cigarette lighter and all that stuff, the windows roll up and down, and it's like you're brand new. And this poem really spoke to me in that context. I thought Buddha did a really good job. You know, he spoke about the restaurant and the diner, and you know, this is what cruise-ins are based in on today. You know, it's basically what we used to do when I was 16, 17 years old. You know, go down to a hamburger stand and hang out and make an ass of yourself in front of all your friends, and you know, and then take your dad's car out and blow it up trying to do a burnout with it, stuff like that. I really liked this. I thought it was excellent. I enjoyed reading it, too. Thanks for letting me do that, Deborah.
Thank you for doing it, David. And before I get a comment from Hatter for Budo, I just wanted to shout out and tell everyone that Linda did well on her surgery. When she's feeling up to it, she'll call and hang out with us. But the surgery healing time is approximately a year, but she wanted to tell everyone that she misses them and that she'll see you soon, and that she's sending love. And Linda, we miss you. See you when you get back. Just keep on healing. And how do you think she is? Heather? Oh, his call dropped. Sweet, what did you think?
especially that, talking about the places that you should have, you know, the cars, or you can actually go and have a car show together and just talk cars and show off the cars. That Friday night innocence where, you know, it's not everybody's going to just kind of bust out and fight and everything like that, but the innocence of it. And I really enjoy that part too.
Thank you, sweet. And Lady A, will you comment for Fudo and then read your poem for us?
Sure. Excuse me. I think that this was, I enjoyed this because it's full of nostalgia and, you know, the cars that were driven. I remember when I was in high school. Like today you see kids driving, people driving cars, they're all in pretty good shape. They're not jalopies. Mm-hmm. And I remember in high school, I mean, guys would put their cars together. They wouldn't have a back seat or you know, it would always smell of gas and oil and two-tone colored rust. And they were proud of their cars. And, you know, the guys that could put them together with a paint job were doing even better. But this really reminded me of the days when, you know, having a car was a muscle car. Or a jalopy that they put together and with some shooting some flames out there on the paint job. And it just was a different era. It was a different time, a simpler time. It mm-hmm. often reminds me of a song by, oh, dear. What's his name? He does the song Cherry Bomb, John Cougar Mellencamp. And it was just a simpler way of life, I guess, a simpler way of looking at things. And this was very reminiscent of that. I thought it was great.
Awesome comment. And your poem is on the board. And you have Wednesday night, so you can either tell us about your show before you read or after. Up to you.
Okay, I was just going to post it, too. I'm doing a show, The Mystery of History, Histories of History, but the history of mediumship, of where that came from, of shamans and witch doctors and that sort of thing. And I'll be putting a brief bit of history out of that, and then people can write about clairvoyance or mental mediumship or clairaudience. There's all different kinds of things of and where it comes from and what, and just, you know, what you think of it. And it'll be an interesting bit of, I'll just give you a little tease. Your clairvoyance or clear seeing is the ability to see anything which is not physically present, such as objects, animals, or people. This sight usually occurs in the mind's eye. And some mediums say that this is their normal vision state. Excuse me. Coughing fit, sorry.
Okay.
That's what the show is going to be about, mediumship and what you think of it and your interpretation of it. Or if you've experienced clairvoyance yourself, or if you've gone to a medium and how true was their reading and that sort of thing. So it'll be a fun show. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you see your face?
Hello?
Hello?
Lady A?
Hello?
Yes.
Sweet.
Did anybody hear me?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
And
that's Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Awesome. And your poem is on the board, and if you would read for us, that would be great.
It's just a brevity. It's called Red. White cotton hammock perfectly slung between palm trees hung scarlet red and thurium bloom gathered with hibiscus and fern. Barefoot on the beach, crimson heels in hand, makes footprints in the sand. Blistering sun shaded by the palms, dries monsoon rains and tidewater calms. Seashell seaweed mixed in water's blue, guard the underwater for me and you. Gripping red bouquets, red shoes and red purse, love and peaceful life is all I ever wish. End poem.
Aww. Seashells, seaweed mixed in water's blue, guard the underwater for me and you. Gripping red bouquet, red shoes and red purse, love and peaceful life is all I ever wish. I love the ending. It's like you hit us with some of your favorite things, and of course the beach has to be there, and it seemed to work out really well, the seashells and the seaweed mixed in the water's blue. And I wondered when you called, when you gave me your number and I scrolled to this one, I was like, oh, I wonder what she'll concentrate on. And I didn't know if, you know, you'd go with why you had to take your shoes off or what. So, but instead you brought in your beloved beach, which you can't ever go wrong writing about the beach. And it worked really well with your, with the word bank and the visuals from the very first couplet down. You packed in really beautiful images. I like where you
Thank
took
you.
The photo. Let
yeah,
me
I wasn't
see
how
I
was going to work in the word bank with it, but it did work out pretty good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so that, I think that's what it sort of forces you to do sometimes when you use a word bank. It forces you to think outside the box for a minute. And I don't know if you had called
yeah,
in yet when Wayne read, he had some football descriptions that you would have never, ever, ever heard of at a football game or from anyone else in the entire world, but it fit. It really, really fit.
Wow.
So you just never know until you give it a shot. You did really, really awesome. Dave, what did you think?
Well, I like this. I like this a lot. I think Lady A did a really good job with this prompt. Barefoot on the beach, crimson heels in hand, makes footprints in the sand. I can just see that. I can see a lady walking along with her red high heels hanging out of her left hand, you know, and thinking about things. You know, it seems like the beach always brings out a lot of, I don't know, some revelations or maybe some personal thoughts, reflections of on us and stuff. That's kind of what I got out of this. It's really a peaceful write. You know, seashell seaweed mixed in water's blue, guard the underwater for me and you. That's really nice. That's a really nice line. It's really warm and you know, I've been a Pisces. I'm really into water anyway. Gripping red bouquets, red shoes, and red purse, love and peaceful life is all I ever wish. You know, we really need to take that last line into some serious thought. Love and peaceful life is all I ever wish. That's the best we can hope for, you know. It's not whoever died with the most toys, you know. That's bullshit, you know. And I think that Lady brought this that point really to bear with this last line. I think it was really a pretty poem. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, would you comment for Lady A and then read the poem on the board for me?
Now, I love this lady. I thought it was just romantic and dreamy, and I kind of want to be in that hammock. The colors and, I don't know, you described mine as romantic, and I kind of thought yours was.
Thank you.
I love being on the beach with you, even if it's just a mental moment in time with you. I think that's just always where you find your peace, and it shines through in your poetry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're so right.
This is a letter from the last hour by you, I. Today when I gazed into that sky, it was painted Prussian, a bit of blackish pie. I wore the memories of a toddler's 20s who started his journey in life's biggest lie. Two boats at a time shall make you sink. Stick to a single one to make your dream. For an athlete is honored being an all-rounder. I look to a mirror which reflects a single founder. Life is a short cycle, probably some few paddles. They fear you'll be lost at sea, so they keep you in a well. When a mind doesn't fear death walking into the road, can it be fearless while painting in different strokes? I am alive today. I am no more tomorrow. I want to live and feel all the shades, all variations of mental and physical experience. The silence depressed the lady beside me. I took a deep breath and listened to the old bray of my heart and thoughts and lived. I am, I am, I am. End poem.
Beautiful read. I really, really love that ending. The silence depressed the lady beside me. I took a deep breath and listened to the old bray of my heart. I thought and lived. I am. I am. I am. I really, really liked the way she ended that. And you read it beautifully because I could feel every I am as you spoke it for her. And what an interesting take, a letter from the last hour. Today, when I gazed into the sky, it was painted threatening, a bit like blackish pie. I like her rhyme. I like the wording. Probably some few paddles. They fear you will be lost at sea. Towards the almost the end, when a mind doesn't fear death walking in the road, can he be fearless while painting in different strokes? I really, really like that because it's thought-provoking. I think, Momo, you did a fantastic job with this. Very much appreciate it. And, Sweet, you did an awesome job reading for her. Will you comment as well?
You know, I really feel the emotional depth of this from her, and it's really refreshing to see that because I love the way she writes, and I think this is probably one of my very favorites from her. There's feeling and growth, and I love the wording that she chose. I like I am alive today, I am no tomorrow, I am no more tomorrows. I want to live and feel all the shades. I love that. I want to live and feel all the shades. That's just got so much to think about. Like you said, there's so many lines in here that make you want to think. I also love the line, I wore the memories of a toddler's 20s. Oh, my God, if I don't think my 20s were just like being a toddler, I don't know what. That is like the perfect line. Not that you could ever tell someone in their 20s they're just toddlers, but my goodness, what a lovely, lovely line that is. It's just perfect. Well done.
Beautiful comment. And Dave, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, I agree with what Pam said about this. I didn't understand quite what that meant. I wore the memories of a toddler's 20s until Pam explained it, and then yeah, you know, it resonates with me too. Two boats at a time shall make you sink. Stick to a single one to make your dream. Boy, there's a lot of wisdom in this poem. You know, life is a short cycle, probably some few paddles. They fear you will be lost at sea, so they keep you in a well. Yeah, I know where that's going too. Anyway, you know, I am alive. I am alive today. I am no more tomorrow. She just decided that she's not going to worry about tomorrow and just live for today. And I think we should do more of that. Anyway, I thought this was a beautiful write, and I like the way this lady writes too. She's really cool.
Awesome comment. Okay, and since I don't want to risk not fitting the last two in because sometimes the studio closes down after the slot and we are 5 minutes over, so if you guys would click on, we will listen to Gerald and give him a couple comments, and then we will have Bill close out the show for us. So click on Gerald, please, and I will push play. And while I'm finding the button, a quick reminder that tomorrow night at 11 p.m., it's Under the Bus with Pretty Bird, and her topic is the dog days of summer. Again, that's 11 p.m. tomorrow night. And then Wednesday with Lady A and Thursday with Sweet, as they have told you earlier. And here is Gerald.
Ring of Love, written and read by Gerald Green. The small back room in Gino's Tavern was large enough for one slate table. Busy on a Friday night where dirty dollars flowed through dirty hands. Place you didn't go unless you put your money down. The stakes were high, the lights were low in this small western gold mine town. The old man sat and watched the game between the stranger and the sheriff's son. He hoped to have another chance to win his $1,000 back again. Gino's daughter, Rosa, waited tables on this cold midwinter's night. Cigars were lit, the air was thick, the table surface new and tight. When Rosa gave the old man beer, she noticed how the table cleared. The stranger was about to win a quick $200 more. He leaned against the table side and gently aimed his tilted cue. He called the shot on number 8. He'd win again, she sensed. She knew. But then she saw his friendship ring, a topaz stone encased in gold, engraved to Jake with love, where a solid wedding band would be. The ring her husband's killer took one night in Colorado Springs Saloon, the ring of love she gave to him, before he went away that June. She placed a hand on Pop's left arm and leaned to get a better look. There was no doubt. It was the ring of love between the two. Her hair fell down and caught his eye that made him miss his easy shot. He saw her look, her mouth aghast, and knew for sure that he'd been caught. A fire burned within her heart with plumes expanding, fueling clouds of embers, firebombing all within its widening path. His eyes saw hers and recognized the scarlet flame of passion, glowing not from wine but anger, an unwavering expression. He dropped the stick and left the room without a word or tip of hat, got in his truck and headed north, where danger lurks at every curve. In grief, she followed him on foot. She had no coat but didn't care. They found her body late that night, her frozen tears concealed by golden hair. End poem.
Oh, man. Gee whiz.
Mm. Epic. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's a hard one to swallow. Gerald.
Grief. She followed him on foot. She had no coat but didn't care. They found her body late that night, her frozen tears concealed by cold, golden hair. And the image there, just like, it's heartbreaking romance. It's putting that song in my mind. The girl from the wrong side of the tracks, and she jumped. Had her, what's the song?
Which one?
Running Bear.
Love Little Wild Dove. With the love,
yeah,
big
probably.
As the sky. But yeah, but that's what happened there. She jumped and he jumped, and man, oh man. Gerald is vastly and rapidly becoming the king of the unexpected here because, okay, Ring of Love, I wondered where he was going, but I don't ever read ahead of time unless somebody asked me to because I like getting first impressions. So, I see this group of cowboys shooting pool, and you got a blonde leaned over the table and trying to confuse them a little with the mounds that are there versus the balls on the table. And you never would have expected this in-depth, amazing poem here. Man, from start to finish, mm-hmm. you wanted him to keep going. You wanted to know where it was going. Like a couple different pieces hit me. But then she saw his friendship ring, a topaz stone encased in gold, engraved to Jake with love, where a solid wedding band would be. And you think of that in the would-be, where the band would be. It's a heartbreaking thing because would-be insinuates right there that, you know, guess it's never gone to because, you know. And her hair fell down and caught his eye. That made him miss his easy shot. So, you know, that's something I might have expected to hear because it's, you know, it is funny. You know why she's leaning over there. And I like that he included it in there. But then to totally twist it around and I'm going to leave some for Lady A to comment next. But, man, the ending is just so gripping and heartbreaking and unexpected and wow, Gerald, impressive, always impressive.
He's a great storyteller, and I thought that it was very heart-wrenching, I guess. When you see the full story. In grief, she followed him on foot. She had no coat, but didn't care. They found her body late that night, her frozen tears concealed by golden hair. Wow. This was really, really good. And a well-told story in a kind of a, well, I guess he's got a cowboy. It would be like an old-fashioned Western-style story, and he just really picked at my heart, and talking about the friendship ring to Jake with love, where a solid wedding band would be, and then her husband gets killed, and it just was a really. It was a real good old-fashioned country song, really, when you think of it. And I almost want to break out in one of those Tammy Wynette songs, but it's just really a great piece for sure.
Awesome comment. And Heather, what did you think?
Are we still talking about the firebombing one? I was playing catch-up on some comments since I do. With Gerald?
We're on the Gerald, yes.
I love his storyline. I was just commenting on it. Trying to read it a second time because I think I'm missing something. He called the shot on number 8. He'd win again. She sensed she knew. But then she saw his friendship ring, a topaz stone encased in gold. So there's a story in there. To Jake with love, the solid wedding band would be, your husband killer's touch. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. This is good. See, I didn't get the middle part. I see it now. It's beautiful. When is Gerald going to be calling in? Is he back from vacation yet?
I don't know. I'm going to start plugging him again this week. And I know you'll listen.
later, Joan. I'm going to be bugging you. Just a fair warning. And
Dave, will you comment before we listen to Phil?
Dave, will you comment before we listen to Phil?
Yeah, sure. I was really, really taken with this. It just took my breath away on the end of it here. I just went, wow. you know, I just, it's a good storyline, really excellent storyline, and you set it up really well. You know, the it's interesting, all the characters that are in this and how he brought them all to life, and then he wove a story around the whole thing. And I saw that prompt, and I thought, what would I do with this thing? And, you know, Gerald sure figured it out. I figured he did a hell of a job with it. It was a good poem, very good poem.
Awesome comment, everyone. I just couldn't find my mute button. Okay, now, if you guys will click on Phil, he's the last one of the night. Let's see. He's another one that always, or should I say never, ceases to amaze. So here we go. We're in for a treat. Let's listen to Phil.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Little Boy's Wish. Alone, wrapped in sheets, unable to move, blinking, feeling through red, moistened eyes, relying on a father's touch, a mother's caress, emotion entombed inside a broken clay pot. A boy in a bubble longs to see the outside world, creates from his imagination a place for him to reign, to feel the sun and breeze upon his little cheek, to touch a worm with his fingers of curiosity. Breath of a Tyrannosaurus Rex wakes the sleeping boy. The feeling of movement fills him with joy that he cries. He leads the Lizard King, followed by resurrected toys, stepping into luscious forests beyond the wardrobe. The boy runs and skips over flowing streams. His companions rejoice every step he takes. He feels the roughness of an aged oak upon his skin, a gentle kiss from a butterfly's wing on a breeze. He is a brave warrior leading his troops to war. He is the hero his father read about, saving a maiden. But soon, he will have to yield to reality once again, still as a mannequin with life in his eyes, searching for adventure. End poem.
I really love listening to him pronounce his words. A little boy's wish. The second stanza, a boy in a bubble longs to see the outside world, creates from his imagination a place for him to reign, to feel the sun and breeze upon his little cheek, to touch a worm with his fingers of curiosity. The compassion that he brings up and makes me feel for this boy is pretty powerful. And I mean, you can't help but think of someone trapped in that bubble and imagine not being able to dip your toes in the ocean or pick up seashells or play with a puppy or all the things that you couldn't do are all rolling through my mind just from the second stanza, let alone all the rest he brought in. The picture that he has is a room full of toys, and some of the toys are lined up like a Noah's Ark type of thing, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in there. But I keep trying to find something else to quote, but it keeps calling me back to that boy in the bubble.
Where's that picture?
On one hand, I'll grab it and put it on the board. But on one hand, you have him enjoying himself in his little imagination in his fairy tale land, and then you're struck with the fact that he can't even touch the worm that he's so curious about. And all that, like I said, again, one stanza, let alone all the rest. Really impressive as always, Phil, and I always enjoy listening to you read your poem. Let me get you some comments while I find that photo to share with everyone. Dave, you want to go first?
Oh, this was really amazing. I don't know where to start. A boy in a bubble longs to see the outside world, creates from his imagination a place to him, for him to reign, to feel the sun and breeze upon his little cheek, to touch a worm with his fingers of curiosity. Oh man, what a cruel situation for a young boy like this. You know, young people are just the epitome of fascination and curiosity, and you know, not to be able to feel any get any textual feedback from anything like touching a worm or feeling the wind in your face or anything like that. It's heartbreaking, really, you know. And you know, and then he goes on to say how his imagination works in the last, you know, in the part, you know, breath of a Tyrannosaurus wakes a sleeping boy. You know, he leads a lizard king followed by the resurrected toys stepping into luscious forest beyond the wardrobe. That's just, you know, it's a wonderful poem, and I've always liked the way Phil writes, and this poem's no different. It's beautiful.
Great comment, Dave. And Heather, what did you think?
Yeah, I got along the same feeling. It's like in through history, there was a lot of, I think, a couple of kings from France. They were put in power because of the death of the father. Now, you know, 14, 16, 17 years old and being heir to the throne, this really speaks about the sudden weight. This guy goes from a child to a scared young man to a man. Then he's a boy, runs and skips on the overflowing streams, and then he's a brave warrior. It's the next line, leading his troops to war. How fast you'd have to grow up and how much stress that would truly be. I thought this was very, very well written. Poorly said.
Great comment, Hatter.
Poorly said comment. Why is it?
No, it was a great comment. I'm having a hard time finding the photo to share with everyone, but Lady A, will you comment for Phil, please?
Yeah, I love Phil's writing, and I thought this was a really great way of looking at, here's what my interpretation of this is. This kid is virtually living in a bubble because of whatever his reasons, that he cannot go outside and play for whatever illness he has. So he is dreaming in his sleep and creates from his own imagination a place for him to reign and feel the sun and breeze upon his little cheek, to touch a worm with his fingers, curiosity. The whole thing speaks about what this little boy would want to feel and see and smell and touch should he be allowed to live outside this bubble. And I thought it was fantastical and very, his imagination is keeping him alive. He's imagining what it would be like to skip and run in the streams or on the grass and playing with his friends, feeling everything that you could possibly feel in the outside world that we take for granted every day.
Yeah.
To be able to breathe the air and feel the grass and the ocean and all the things that we love, we have, our lives are bombarded with sight, sound, and touch, and here's a kid that didn't have any of it, and he just longs to see what it's like to be out there and like the rest of the world. And I thought he did a wonderful job on this, and it makes me wonder if that was him when he was a child. Maybe allergies can play havoc with young children for a very long time, that they're not able to tolerate pretty much. I remember there was a little girl that I taught in Sunday school years ago, and she was virtually wrapped like a mummy in cotton cloth and creamed up and greased up, and she had a skin disorder that was just horrific, and severe allergies. And eventually she grew out of it and married and had her own children. But as a child, a young child, it was just pitiful. And so you can imagine, like, everything that she touched or breathed caused her to have this horrible skin disease, like the worst kind of eczema that you would ever see. And but Phil did a great job in bringing this boy into the world and to be able to feel for perhaps the first time what it's like to feel to be a little boy and live his fantasies. Yeah, it was a great piece.
Awesome comment. I agree, and I'm sorry I can't find a photo. But, again, tomorrow at 11 is Pretty Bird. Wednesday at 9 is Lady A. Thursday at 8 is Sweet. So hopefully we'll see you at the shows. Right now, as I speak, Stephen and Kay are live over at A Poetic Slice with the Mortuary of Shadows. And at this time, I'd like to thank my big brother, Hatter, for always being there. And I would like to say thank you to AP and Wayne and Stephen and Kay and David and Sky and Sweet and Lady A and Gerald and Phil and Budo and Angel and Iris and Momo. Amazing poetry, everyone. I'm in awe week after week after week. You bring it. And I love your excitement. I love your enthusiasm. And I love the joy that you get from making the front page and scoring high scores. And I like the notes that I get from a couple of the guys in the room about what they've learned. It makes my day. One of those guys is David. Thank you for the nice message, David.
You're welcome.
And on, on that note, I'm about to put my thank you to everyone on the board, and you find the link there for next Monday for anybody who wants to get a jump on the prompt, and also the topic to click on for information for Dog Days of Summer tomorrow with Pretty Bird. And on that note, Hatter, what song would you like to hear us out of here with?
Oh, how about some Beatles?
Yeah.
Say that again?
The Beatles, first one you come to. As long as it's not Obladi. Beatles.
Oh,
John, Ringo,
Let's go,
Paul, George.
Beatles.
Should have some early stuff. Hope you run into that first. Should maybe end there.
I don't find Obladi Oblada.
No, I don't want that one. We don't want that one.
Oh, what do you want?
No. That's the one I did not want, yeah. I don't know which one you got. Ticket to Ride, Love Me Do.
That's
Hold
a good
Your
one.
Hand. Hard Day's Night.
Love me do.
Well, thank you, Hatter. Appreciate you.
Thank you,
and thanks, Sif. Tune in to Pretty Bird Show tomorrow, 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. Love and respect, everyone. Night.
Good night. See you in your dreams.